Lord, we thank you that you are a way maker, that you're a miracle worker. God, we need a way out of no way. God, we need a miracle today. Thank you, Lord, that you never stop working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working, Lord. We thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name we worship and pray. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us on today. So blessed to be able to share with you on this special Mother's Day. So just a few announcements. Giving for those of you. I want to thank you so much for those of you that have been returning your tithe, giving an offering, and then those of you that have been making a donation. So we just want to say thank you. We appreciate it. If you want to give on your desktop computer, you just go to southbayalc.com, select the giving option, and you can give today. For those of you that have been giving on your phone, go to southbayalc.com. Then you have the three bars on the right-hand side. Select the giving option, and then go ahead and select give, and then you can give today as well. And for those of you who are like me and you just want to mail it in, South Bay Abundant Life Church, 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279. And that's Long Beach, California, 90807. And as always, check or money order. Please do not send cash in the mail. So excited about what's been happening on Wednesday nights. We've been having such an amazing time on Wednesday nights. This Wednesday Bible study, 6:30 to 8. We normally stop. We try and keep it to 7:30. But we say 8 o'clock just because it might go over just a little bit, but we really try and keep it to 7:30. In preparation, read 2 Samuel chapter 11 as we finish that up, and then 2 Samuel chapter 12, which is a new chapter. It's just some incredible principles of God that's being shared, so relevant for today, so relevant for what we're dealing with now. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is God, and he changes not. So the principles that worked and applied then, they definitely apply to us now. And then for those of you that, and thank you for your prayer requests, we consider it a privilege and honor to stand in the gap for you, just like someone stood in the gap for us when we needed prayer. So if you're in need of prayer, or have someone you'd like for us to pray for, email us at life@southbayalc.com. life@southbayalc.com. I want to encourage South Bay Abundant Life Church and visitors and guests. We've been having our first meal after service, so I want to encourage you on Sunday mornings to have your first meal after service. So we're praying, we're fasting, we're believing God, we're expecting a miracle from God. We're praying for revival, praying for refreshing and renewal during this time of reset. So I would ask that you would join me, and that's each Sunday in May, and we've been doing that since January. God had put it on our heart that this is not just a business as usual year, and we can see now that it's really not, and I don't think we should stop, and God hasn't released me from praying and fasting every Sunday morning until after service. So I would ask that you would join me, and as we, in just a few seconds, have our corporate prayer, we're just going to be praying for mothers. We're going to pray for mothers, and then we're going to get right into the Word and let you enjoy your Mother's Day with your family, either with your mom, call her. If your mom, again, has passed, then honor her memory and just remember the good times and thank God that he gave you the mom that he did. So if you would, just bow your heads with me as we pray for mothers and families and dads and fathers. We won't forget you either. So, Lord, we come to you now as we're praying and fasting in your word. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 29, they asked Jesus, they said, why couldn't we deal with the issue? Why couldn't we cast out that particular spirit? And Jesus told him, this kind, this kindred, there are some things that can only be cast out, can only be dealt with, that the stronghold can only be broken through praying and fasting. So, Lord, as we're praying and fasting this morning, we thank you, we bless you, we love you. The kind that we're dealing with, the situation that we're doing, that we're dealing with now, Lord, we're praying and fasting, God, for a breakthrough. We're praying for revival. We're praying for refreshing and renewal and a reset of the heart and mind that would run to Jesus Christ and not from Jesus Christ. So we're praying and we're standing in the gap now, Lord, and we're praying for our mothers today, Lord. We honor our mothers. We honor the memory of our mothers. We thank you, Lord, for giving us mothers, God. Without a mother, none of us would be here. So we pause and we say, bless you today, Lord, for blessing us with our mothers. And God, we lift up families and children and fathers and husbands and wives, all created by a mother. So we thank you and we bless you, Lord. We're praying for kids, praying for children, Lord. Praying for your hand to be upon them for good and not for evil. Praying for your blessing to be upon them, Lord. Praying that they would run to you, Lord. We're praying for rededication. We're praying for salvation, Lord. We're praying for a renewed mind, a renewed heart, a transformed mind, a transformed heart, Lord. Transformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God, we're praying now. Praying that you give your mothers rest, that you give them peace, that you give them comfort, Lord. That there's no shame, no guilt, no condemnation on our mothers because of what we as kids have done, Lord. So we're just praying that you would release that. We're praying for forgiveness. We're praying for reconciliation. We're praying for redemption, Lord. Somebody be redeemed back to God as a result of this Mother's Day message. Lord, we're praying for hope and encouragement, praying that mothers would trust you like never before, trust you with their kids, trust you with their finances, trust you with their grown kids, trust you with their underage kids, trust you with their job, their business, their ministry, praying for mothers. Give them direction. Give them insight, Lord. Give them wisdom, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, God. Let them be led by the Spirit and not led by any fear or apprehension or insecurity, God. Let them trust in you 100%, God. Let them be an example, a godly example of a mother that trusted God. A mother that gave her heart and life and soul to Jesus Christ. Praying for mothers today, and that example would be a light. Others would see it and glorify you for the good works that's seen in our mothers. So we love you, Lord, and we thank you, God. Praying for all mothers all around the world today. Praying for those who lost their mother because of COVID-19. God, praying for comfort. Oh, God, heal the brokenhearted, God. Heal the confused mind. Heal the infirm body, God. We're praying physically, mentally, emotionally. Give your moms courage. Give them strength, Lord. The emotions, Lord, is there. Just at the end of their rope, God, give them strength to endure. And remind them that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Don't let them give up. Don't let them get weary, Lord. Praying for our mothers, Lord. Praying that you'd remind them that you haven't given them a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. They're not going to lose it. They're not going to fall apart. They're not going to give up because they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Remember them, Lord. And don't let them get weary in well-doing, for they shall reap the benefit of all their well-doing if they faint not. Don't let them pass out. Don't let them give up. Let them stand strong, praying for our mothers, praying that the fathers will lift up the arms of the mothers. We'll help out. We'll be there. We're praying for our mothers, praying for our spouses, praying for our kids, God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak to us through your word. Thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, dead, decaying, and broken world. God, we need you so much today. Open our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, lead right now. Open our hearts and minds to receive the word. Guide us, God. Give us your wisdom to receive your word. We don't want information. We can get that anywhere, God. We want revelation that leads to transformation. We want to look more like you, Lord, after this message. We want practical steps of how we can look more like Jesus Christ after the power of the word enters our heart through this message. And we love you in advance, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. So we get into our Mother's Day message. Please turn with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 15. And again, want to honor all the mothers. Definitely want to thank God for my mother. Honor her today. My mom was the one who planted the God seed in me, the God seed, the Christ seed in me, was planted by my mom. And I said it before, and those of you who know me, you've heard this before, but we didn't attend church as kids growing up. But my mom planted the God seed. She told me God was good, God was loving, God was forgiving, and God was merciful. When I got saved at 17, then I found out the depth of what Jesus Christ had done, dying on the cross for our sins, but the God seed was planted. So moms, you don't have any idea of the God seed that you can plant in your kids with just kind words and scripture based on the word of God. You don't have to be in church to plant the God seed, mothers. Plant the God seed in your children now. Regardless of the age, it's there. It stays with them. If you're there, say amen. Give a thumbs up. Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. I'll read through verses 18. And she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods." Notice that's a little g. "Return thou after your sister-in-law." This is Naomi speaking to Ruth and her other daughter-in-law. Unfortunately, there was a famine and so they had left their place of Bethlehem. They had left there. They're gone to another place. The Moabites span of 10 years. Naomi's husband died. She had two sons. They married two ladies. Ruth was one of them. Two sons died. So we pick up the narrative in verse 15, and she's telling Naomi's going back to her people, which is in Bethlehem. She's telling Ruth, your sister-in-law is going back to where she's from, which is to Moabite, Moab. She's a Moabite. She's telling her, why don't you go back with your sister-in-law? That's verse 15. Ruth tells her in verse 16, and Ruth said, don't urge me to leave you. Don't beg me to leave you, or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people should be my people, and your God, your big G God, the true and living God, will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And I will be buried there. The Lord, underline the Lord. Ruth has a connection. Because of Naomi, Ruth has a connection to the Lord. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death separate you and me. Verse 18, and when Naomi saw that Ruth had her mind made up and she wasn't leaving her, then she stopped speaking to her about it. Underline that. When she saw her mind was made up, she said, I'm not going to talk anymore. Make a note, it comes a time when we have to stop speaking and start praying. Comes a time when we have to stop. We've preached till we blew in the face, and then we have to go ahead and pray because somebody's mind is made up. But in this case, it was a good case that Ruth's mind had made up. She wanted to have an encounter, and she already had an encounter with the true and living God. And she wanted to stay connected to the lady that had given her that encounter, had introduced her in words and in deeds and in action to the true and living God. So I have a lot of read this because I don't want you to miss what God was speaking to my heart as we go through the scriptures. So Sister Kathy, I have a lot of read this. So obviously I have to read this. It says, God will cause a famine or a pestilence or even death to push you and lead you into a position and purpose for his glory. Let me say it again. It's tough. This is one of the toughest times of their life. So make a note of that. This is not an easy decision. This is one of the toughest times of their life. Ruth and Naomi. You have Ruth, husband died, father-in-law died. You have Naomi, her husband died, her two sons died. This is one of the roughest times of their life. They went to Moab because of a famine. They didn't have anything to eat, so they left and they went there. So in a span of 10 years, it's all falling apart. So it seems. But it is. Make no mistake. This is one of the roughest times of their life. And just notice the dynamics. Ruth says, I've been through one of the worst times of my life, and I'm going to stick with you, mother-in-law. I will not leave you. Where you go, I'm going. Your people, my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. That's incredible. Make a note, family. At the toughest time in their life, they weren't devouring each other. Make a note, family. At the toughest time in their life, they were sticking together. Somebody say amen. Somebody get that. And this is not a mother to daughter. This is a mother-in-law. It shows that mother-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, you don't have to be at odds. When you humble yourself and get on the same page through humility and obedience to God, then comes unity. You don't have to devour each other in the toughest times of life. We're going through a very difficult time now for a lot of us. Don't devour each other. Look at this example. She says, where you go, I'm going to stick with God and I'm going to stick with you. Couples, get that. This is said often during wedding vows. This is mother-in-law. This is daughter-in-law to mother-in-law. And they made the commitment. Couples, we got to do better. Make the commitment. It's not about emotion. It's about commitment. This is about commitment and obedience to God. Get that. So very tough time. So God causes a famine, then death. But it pushes them into their purpose. So regardless of what you're going through now, see yourself, see God pushing you into your purpose through the struggles, through the difficult times. Through the insecurities, through the confusion, through the unknown, God is pushing. God is using that to put you in a place to push you into your purpose. And you can't see it now. You only see the snapshot. God sees a whole video being played from start to finish. Trust God. You got to trust God for once in your life. But we see it right here. Make a note, where you are today is right where God wants you to be. Despite your struggles, your issues, and your flaws, where you are today is right where God wants you to be. It's a place where if you humble yourself, trust God, and be obedient to his word, it'll push you right into your purpose. You're ready to give up. We're going to see just how Naomi wanted to give up. In the scriptures 15 through 18, it's about Ruth and Naomi and their relationship. In verses 19 through 22, it shifts to Naomi. Naomi's ready to give up. She doesn't understand what God is doing. You might not understand what God is doing, but God is pushing you into your purpose despite where you are and despite what you're going through. That's the word of God today. Right where you are is right where God wants you to be at. But this is what you got to do. You got to trust God 100%. And then you got to be obedient and you got to humble yourself. And really trust God. God will allow famine and pestilence, which are diseases, and even death to push you into your place of purpose. Let me say it again. God will allow famine, pestilence, or even death to push you to the place of your purpose. Make a note of that. We're sitting here, we're fighting against things, and instead of humbling ourselves, being obedient, praying and trusting God, we're fighting it where God is trying to push us into the place of our purpose where he always wanted us to be in the midst of the difficult times, in the midst of the struggles. God never ends anything on a negative. So be secure and be confident in that. Put your trust in God. If it's a negative right now, keep trusting God until God works it all the way out. God never ends anything on a negative. Stay faithful to God. It's not the end of your story. Make a note, here we go. Get a little fancy here, but hear what I'm saying. This is a story of relationships, reconciliation, and redemption. The relationship between Ruth and Naomi, the reconciliation between Naomi and God and Ruth and God, and redemption. Naomi's redeemed. Ruth is redeemed, and mankind is redeemed because of the birth of Obed, who's the great-grandfather of David. And we know that the lineage of Jesus Christ came through King David. So hear what I'm saying. It's a story of relationships, reconciliation, and redemption. It's also a story, it gets deep, it's also a story of death, dedication, and deliverance. Death of the husbands and sons. What is, it's tough, and we've all lost loved ones. And it's tough, but in the midst of that, God pushes them into their purpose. We've all lost loved ones, and we will continue because that's part of the cycle of life. We'll talk more about that later, but it's just part of the life that we have here. So it's a story of death, the husbands and son, dedication, Ruth to Naomi, and deliverance, mankind through the lineage of Ruth and Boaz. This is also a story of commitment, kindness, and courage. Commitment, Ruth to Naomi. Kindness, Naomi to Ruth, and Ruth to Naomi. And courage, Boaz to marry Ruth. And Ruth to accept. The most scholars believe that at this time, Boaz was about 80 years old and Ruth was about 40. And they had a child together. That takes courage within itself. Somebody say amen. Takes courage at any age to get married and have a child. So we got relationships, reconciliation, redemption. We have death, dedication, and deliverance. We have commitment, kindness, and courage. Make a note, this is Ruth's mother-in-law. And this is her mother-in-law. We don't have to be at odds. So we all need to strive to have our relationships on a mature level like this. Husband to wife to husband, mother to father, father to son to father, mother to son to mother. We need to have our relationships on a high biblical level like this, mature level, where it's not based on emotion, it's based on commitment and obedience to God. We must elevate and cultivate our relationship to a godly and mature level, just like Naomi and Ruth. Make a note, family. It's a lot of practicality in this. It's a lot of revelation in this. Here's another note. Ruth was not bitter. Blaming her mother-in-law because of the death or the situation they were in. They didn't start devouring each other. Ruth was not bitter. And the mother-in-law, make a note, mother-in-laws. The mother-in-law was not contentious and arrogant and filled with pride. She wasn't envious and jealous and hating on her daughter-in-law because she was married to her son. Make a note, mother-in-laws. Daughter-in-laws, make a note. It's no blaming, it's no finger pointing. And remember, you're dealing with death, you're dealing with famine, you're dealing with issues. You're talking about leaving, going back with nothing. They're not devouring each other, not blaming each other. Here we are in the midst of a pandemic. We're in our houses with our families, and please don't start blaming each other. Please don't start pointing fingers. Please don't start devouring each other. Get your level, your relationship level on a mature biblical level like this. It's not filled with envy and jealousy and pride and finger pointing. I love this message. I love the relationship. They're not even related through blood, and we are. And then we're related to each other through the body of Christ, through the blood of Jesus. Let's not start devouring each other. Let's not start backbiting and pointing fingers because of where we are. When we understand what God is doing, it's pushing us right into our place of purpose. Get that, family. Stop fighting God. Humble yourself. Trust God. Have the courage to be obedient and watch God take you to a place of purpose. Despite all they've been through together, Naomi's husband and two sons have died. They're gone. Ruth's husband and father-in-law died all in the span of 10 years. That's enough to break anybody. And mothers, think about it. Your husband dies and your two sons die in a matter of 10 years. That's enough to break anybody. That's enough to have you pointing fingers at the person next to you, and you're trying to stay with me. Ever since we've been together, nothing but death and destruction have come, and you still want to stay with me? It's enough for you to take it out on them, but not so, said Naomi. And not so, said Ruth, I want to be with you. You're not a reminder of death, you're a reminder of life, because you introduced me to the Lord. The Lord makes all the difference in their life. You hear Ruth talking about the Lord, and she was from Moab. They didn't worship. She said, return to your God, the little g. They believed in the God of Chemosh or Chemosh, C-H-E-M-O-S-H. It was a fish god. Ruth said, no, I'm not going back to a fish god. I want to connect to the God that created the fish. Somebody say amen. Ruth said, I'm not going back to a fish god. I'm connected to the God that created the fish. It just amazes me how many of us as Christians, we settle for less. We want to get caught up in some horoscope, H-O-R-R-O-R. And we're looking at stars when we should be connected, and we are connected to one who created the stars. Are you kidding me? She said, I'm not going back to some fish god. I'm connected to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who created the fish. I'm not going back. And in the midst of the death and the struggles and the issues, it looks like a negative, but when you're connected to God, it's extremely positive, and it's pushing you into your place of purpose. See that. Look at where you are now and get excited, because you can't see what God is doing. But again, humble yourself. Trust God. Be obedient. Have the courage to be obedient and live according to God's word. These unfortunate events can break you and destroy the best of relationships. But Naomi is connected to God and does not take out her frustration, disappointment, hurt, desperation, emptiness, grief, confusion out on her daughter-in-law. Let me say it again. These unfortunate incidents and situations and famine and pestilence and death can destroy the best of relationships. This COVID-19 can destroy the best of relationships if you're not connected to God. But Naomi is connected to God and does not take out her frustration, her disappointment, her hurt, her desperation, her emptiness, her grief, her confusion on her daughter-in-law. She doesn't take it out on her. Yeah. Naomi shows the kindness of God towards Ruth. She even gives her a way out, saying, you don't need to stay with me. And this is Naomi saying, she gives her a way out. And in verse 15, she said, you can go on back. I'm releasing you. You don't have to stay connected to me. But Ruth said, I want to stay connected to you, and I want to stay connected to your God. She gave her a way out of this incredibly. Be real, folks. This is an incredibly depressing situation until God shows up. And a friend will give you a way out of that, in which Naomi did. But Ruth saw the bigger picture and wanted to stay connected to God. Listen to this. Ruth felt that the best thing that has come out of this difficult situation is being connected to a godly woman and mother. Let me say it again. And hopefully you'll say that. That'll be your testimony. That when we're done with this COVID-19 and whatever else comes, the best thing that's come out of this is that I renewed my relationship to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The best thing that's come out of this is that I've dedicated to my life to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The best thing that has come out of this is God has showed me my purpose and the plan that he has for my life. That's the best thing that comes out of this, is that I've met some godly people that are helping to disciple me and make me the man or woman that God created me to be. That's the best thing that's come out of this. Look at the best thing that's coming out of this situation, and not all the death and pestilence and famine and destruction that's going on right now. I hope that can be our testimony as we come out of this most difficult situation, that we got connected to some godly people and God used them to help push us into the place of our purpose. Make a note. In the midst of our struggles and difficulties and setbacks, know that God is setting you up for something better. Let me say it again. Family, know that. Trust, have confidence in God. That in the midst of our struggles, difficulties, and setbacks, that God is setting you and I up for something better. Remember, we just see the snapshot. God sees the video from start to finish. Make a note, family. Where we are now, what you and I are going through now, it's only a speed bump on our journey with God. Let me say it again. Where we are now, it's only a speed bump on our journey with God. It's not a dead-end street. There is a yield sign. Slow down. Pause. Pause within the pause and see what's going on. It's not a dead-end street. It's just a yield sign. Slow down. Humble yourself. Pause. In the midst of the pause, stop trying to run back to the beach and run back to a restaurant and run back to pause within the pause. It's a speed bump. Go ahead and slow down. And then make a note, God has slowed you down to set you up. Let me say it again. God has slowed you down to set you up. Take a look at verse 19. And notice the shift. At first it was about Ruth and Naomi. Now it shifts. Ruth is still there, but it really focuses in on Naomi now. Take a look at Naomi. It says, so the two, because remember, Naomi said, okay, you got your mind made up, then come on with me. I have nothing, but come on with me. Here we go, family. So the two went, verse 19, so the two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, well, make a note, family, that Naomi means pleasant, and Ruth means friendship. So between the two of them, you have a pleasant friendship. Ruth means friendship. Naomi means pleasant. So they said in verse 19, is this Naomi? Then Naomi speaks up in verse 20, and she said unto them, don't call me pleasant, call me bitter. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call me pleasant, seeing that the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Verse 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem, underline this, in the beginning of the barley harvest. In the midst of all that, you see the timing of God. When they left, how they left, how they came back, it's inconsequential to the time that they came back. See, so in the midst of Naomi's pity party, God is setting her up for a miracle, and she's stuck in the pity party, and she doesn't see it. Get out of your pity party and see what God is doing. Family, get out of it. I know it's tough. It's difficult for us all. We want to stay in that pity party, and we want to blame God, but that's we're looking at the wrong thing. Verse 22, it shows the timing of God. God set him up and brought him back at the right time. So I told you, it shifts to Naomi. And look at the inner struggle, a mother's inner, make a notice, a mother's inner struggle. That although she's coming back inside, oh, mothers, have mercy. Although she's coming back and they are excited to see her, but in her inner struggle, when you go to your mom, you don't know what inner struggle she's dealing with today. Be kind to your mom. Show love. Show kindness. Encourage her. Let her know that God has a time for her, that even in the midst of it, the time right where you are is right where you're supposed to be because it's in God's timing. Be humble. Be obedient. Trust God so you can see the timing of God. It's right at barley season. It's a setup for a miracle. But you got to get this note, though, based on verses 21 20 and 21. So I got to read it. Listen carefully, family. Listen, hear me now. God says, don't change your name. God is in the midst of changing your circumstance. Don't change your name. She wanted to change her name, but if she would have known that God was in the midst of changing her circumstance, she wouldn't have wanted to change her name. So I'm encouraging you today, don't change your name. Don't call yourself by anything but a child of God if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He said, we're royalty, we're kings and priests. Read it for yourself in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. We're kings and priests through Christ. We're royalty in Christ. You and I, mothers, fathers, all of us that have accepted Jesus Christ into our heart as a personal Lord and Savior, we're still royalty. The position doesn't change. The condition might, but the position doesn't. Despite what you're going through, you're still royalty. Don't change your name. God is in the midst of changing your circumstance. Be patient. God is at work. Because of my struggles in life and unfortunate circumstances, I'm a failure and God is mad at me. That's not true. Mothers, I know despite what your kids are doing or not doing, you're not a failure. God is not mad at you. It's not even about that. It's about God setting you up to be a blessing. It's about being humble, being obedient. It's about trusting God with our most precious resource, which is our kids, that God gave to us anyway. Verse 21, make a note. It's not God's fault. She said, the Lord is not God's fault, family. Make a note. We live in a fallen world, which is filled with systemic sin. That's the system that's set up. Ever since Adam and Eve rebelled, created a system of sin, and all other systems, oppressive systems, are built and based on the systemic sin that we live in. It's not God's fault. God didn't create it. Our free will did. And if you would look at your life, some of the worst things that have happened is because of my free will and your free will that created a mess. God didn't do it. We did it. And then when it's outside of that and things happen, it's because we live in a fallen world. People have been trying to fight different causes and different oppressive systems, which I get, they're all around us, but that's only the symptom of a larger problem. The root of the matter is systemic sin. It's not about a skin problem. It's about a sin problem. And we're fighting the symptom and not the root. The root is the systemic sin that we all live in. And Naomi got caught up looking at her circumstances and blame God. Stop blaming God for your circumstance. We live in a fallen world based on our free will. And that's why we have the free will to choose Jesus Christ. And then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Then we can trust God and we realize it's not a setback. It's just a setup. And everything that God has done and allowed to happen in my life is pushing me into my place of purpose. And so I'm excited about life. I'm excited about God, even in the midst of my struggles. Don't change your name. Don't blame God. This systemic sin that we're in, it causes death, oppression, deception, betrayal, confusion, depression, and all other ills of society. Naomi blamed God, but let's be clear, it is not God's fault. God did not create sin. Man chose to. Book of Joshua gave him a choice. He said, choose this day. It's a choice. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is a choice. Today, choose Jesus Christ. Mothers, choose to trust God. Fathers, choose to trust God. Children, choose to trust God. Today is your choice. It's not God's fault. It's on you. We're born into systemic sin, and the only thing to break the curse is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross for our sins. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we all need it, because we're born into a system that's cursed. And then God sent the blessing As the scripture says, very familiar scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then it goes on to say, for verse, that's John 3:16, John 3:17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus Christ would be saved and would be rescued. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved and rescued. Call on him now, mothers. Believe on him now, trusting to cover your kids, trusting that you are in a place that's going to push you right into your purpose in God. When we trust God, then we can see God and Jesus Christ as our Savior, and not a God who has unfairly dealt with us. Let me say that again. Get this. Make a note. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we humble ourselves, we're obedient, we're trusting, we're running to God. We're reading God's word, we're praying, we're fasting, we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, we're connected to God. Then we see God and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and not a God that has dealt unfairly with us, but we see the opposite. We see the goodness and mercy that will follow us all the days of our life. We see the mercy of God. We see the grace of God. We see the kindness of God. Don't change your name. God's only setting you up to put you in the place of your purpose in him. Verse 22, make a note. Look at the timing of God. It's about the timing of God. God closes a door, so you will be at the opening of another door at the right time, which is God's timing. Let me say it again. God closes one door so that you will be at the opening of another door in God's time. Oh, my gosh. Somebody get it. You're one, you got laid off, you know, things have shut down, and you're one of trying to fight God and figure out what's going on. But you got to understand, God closed that door in Moab. So they would be in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley season, right in God's timing to be set up to change mankind, to impact mankind. So much bigger. God, that's so much bigger than what we see in just a snapshot. The timing of God is incredible. If Ruth had not been obedient to the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit to follow Naomi, she would have went back to Moab worshiping a fish god. Mm. She would not be in the place of God. So family, we must pray to God and stay close to God so we can live according to God, who's given us a purpose, because we live on purpose and not on accident. So here's one thing you can do. Pray and ask God. Pray and ask God to always lead you to the place where he will meet where you will meet your godly purpose. Let me say it again. Pray and ask God, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, pray and ask God to always lead you to the place where you will meet your godly purpose, despite the difficult circumstances that it might take to get there. Make that your prayer this week. As you're meditating on Psalms 18, make that your prayer this week. All right. Let's look at chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, and we'll do this quickly as we approach the 10 a.m. hour. Now it shifts back to Ruth. So it went from Naomi and Ruth to Naomi. Now it shifts back to Ruth. I'll read chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. They come at the barley season, and it just so happens that Ruth decides to go out and pick the wheat. So verse 8, then says Boaz unto Ruth, harvest thou not, my daughter? Then said Boaz unto Ruth, did you hear what I said, my daughter? Notice Boaz calls her his daughter. He said, I don't want you to go anywhere else to collect wheat but right here. and you stay close to my maidens. Verse 9, don't let your, let not your eyes be on the field of another. Do not go anywhere else. Stay here. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch you? And when you are thirsty, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace? Underline that, my God, thank you, Lord. We see Boaz as a type and shadow of God. Why have I found grace in your eyes that you should take knowledge of me and I'm just a stranger? Verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, it has fully been shown unto me all that you have done unto your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of where you were born at, and you come to a people which you don't even know. Verse 12, the Lord will repay your work, and a full reward will be given you of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to trust. Oh my gosh, underline that. It said, Ruth got up under the wings of the Lord. As much as she was following Naomi, she was really following the Lord. And she got up under the wings of the Lord and trusted him. And it changed her life. Family, get up under the wings of the Lord today and trust God 100% with your heart. It will change your life. Verses 10 through 12, we see the favor of God. We see the provision of God. We see the protection of God, and we see the grace of God. Let me say it again. Make a note, and you can go back over it when you have more time. This whole book is incredible, and it's only, what, 4 chapters, so it's an easy read, but most incredible, life-changing read, one of the most life-changing reads you will ever read. But in those verses 8 through 12, we see the favor of God. We see the provision of God. We see the protection of God. We see the grace of God. We see the mercy of God. We see the plan of God. Trust God and position yourself under his wings. So now we go to, let's go to Ruth chapter 4. Let's conclude now. We're closing it up. Mothers were closing up. Now we go, let's conclude with Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. So now it shifts back to Naomi and Ruth. It went from Ruth and Naomi to Naomi to Ruth. Now it shifts back to Naomi and Ruth. Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when they had slept together, the Lord gave her conception. Underline that, the Lord gave her conception. And she bare a son. My God. Verse 14, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left you this day. Underline that. God hasn't forgotten you. It just takes time. It's the process. Such an incredible blessing. Blessed be the Lord, which has not left you. God has not forgotten you this day without a kinsman or without a redeemer, that his name may be famous in Israel. The name is famous to this day. Verse 15, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of your life, and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law, which you love and which love you, is better than 7 sons that have been born. Can you imagine that? That it's saying that Ruth was better than 7 sons. And so make a note, mothers, focus on what you have and not what you don't have. Focus on the blessing that God's given you. And not what you don't have. And you see how great and how much of a blessing it is. Verse 16, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse to it. So Naomi, she nurses the child. and we'll see how the child named Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. So the DNA of David, of King David, Naomi's DNA is in King David because she nursed his great-grandfather. she thought God had dealt bitterly with her, but she's forever known. She's in the lineage of Jesus Christ through King David. Her DNA is in David, the King David, who was a man after God's own heart because she nursed his great-grandfather. And mothers, you know, when you're nursing, it goes right to the bloodstream. It's part of who you are. It's part of your blood. She was ready to give up. She thought God had dealt bitterly with her, but God was only setting her up. He only set her back to set her up. through Ruth. Ruth was blessed with the baby, but Naomi was blessed because now her lineage goes all the way to David, which goes all the way to Christ. When Naomi's blessed, Ruth is blessed. Make a note of that, family. Husbands, make a note of it. When your wife is blessed, you're blessed. Stop competing. Take your relationship to another level. You're not competing with your wife. You're not competing with your mother-in-law. You're not competing with your daughter-in-law. When they're blessed, you're blessed. That's a mature level relationship in Christ. Those of us in the body of Christ, we're not competing against each other. When you're blessed, I'm blessed. When you mourn, I mourn. When you hurt, I'm hurt. We're in this thing together. It's not based on emotion. It's based on commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you're blessed, I'm blessed. When our relationship is mature. God, thank you for that. Verse 17, and the woman and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, the child. Gave the child a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Somebody make a note of that. Mothers, don't give up on your kid. Don't give up on your prayers. Remember, prayer is productive, it's reliable, it's available, it's yours, and it's exalted, your exalted Redeemer. Don't give up on your prayer. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your children. Be encouraged this Mother's Day. Obed, his name means serving. Jesse's name means I possess. David's name means beloved. Serving, possessing, and being beloved by God. Let me say it again. Mothers, don't give up on God. Don't give up on your prayers. Be encouraged this Mother's Day. Be encouraged in the midst of your blessings and in the midst of your struggles. God is at work. Let us pray. So, Lord, we thank you. We love you. We bless you. God, thank you that you're not finished with us yet. God, thank you that you only set us back to set us up. You only paused us, Lord, to push us into our purpose in you. God, you've got our attention. God, thank you for the principles of God that we find in the book of Naomi, in the book of Ruth, and the relationship between Naomi and Ruth. It's about relationships. It's about reconciliation. It's about redemption. It's about commitment and kindness and courage. It's about death. It's about dedication. It's about deliverance. God, they didn't see it. God, we don't see it. Open our eyes, God, so we can see how you're at work in our life. God, encourage us not to give up, not to blame you, not to fall apart, but to hold on to you even tighter, Lord, and let you work out the process. Naomi and Ruth had no idea what they were walking into, but the timing of God is always right on time, and it's incredible. God, may we all get under your wings and trust you and trust your timing. Right where we are is right where you want us to be and right where you have us, God. God, let us rest in that. Let us be confident in that. Let us be sure in that. Let us be secure in that. And we thank you and we bless you, Lord. For all the mothers that are here this morning joining us via Facebook Live and Zoom. And maybe it's a mother here who's just watching with her son or daughter or daughter-in-law or son-in-law. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's as simple as calling on the name of the Lord. We see it right here in the text. Ruth was serving a fish god. And then she got introduced to the true and living God. You might be serving a horoscope, afraid to not do anything unless your horoscope says so. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. God doesn't operate that way. Now it's time for you to trust the one who created the stars. Let your sign be, now I'm delivered by Jesus Christ. My sign is now I'm royalty in Christ. My sign is the wings of God of underneath I'm trusting. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for shedding your blood for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you for resurrecting on that third day to show that you have power over death, hell, sin, and the grave. You resurrected, Lord, to show that we will resurrect and we will stand before you. So, Lord, I ask for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for touching my heart this morning. Thank you for your word that says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus, I call on you now. I humble myself. I admit I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need help. Save me today. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can live and be obedient and be led by you. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for a second chance to be connected to you for now and forever. I love you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Put me up under your wings. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you're here and you want to rededicate your life, maybe you are getting frustrated and you haven't been operating on a level of love that we see how biblically Naomi and Ruth operated on despite the issues. Just rededicate your life. As the word says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we confess we all need help. God, we all want to raise our level to the level of Naomi and Ruth based on commitment, based on love, based on God, not on emotion and finger pointing and shame and guilt and condemnation because of the circumstances, God. So we thank you for forgiveness. And we bless you and we love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask God. Amen. So we thank you and we just want to say we appreciate you joining us. And we've gone over just a few minutes, but I believe it was extremely powerful and life-changing and transformative. So as we conclude the day, and as we prayed, if you want to, if you have any specific prayer needs, please email us at life@southbayalc.com. We love to pray for you because we know that prayer changes things. Prayer is productive, reliable, available. It's your exalted Redeemer. That's what prayer stands for here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. And it's an honor and it's a privilege to pray for someone just like someone did for us. We thank God for the prayers that we stand on, that others prayed for us. Wednesday night Bible study, you don't want to miss it. I can't wait to fellowship with you. In preparation for Wednesday night, read 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 2 Samuel chapter 12. Two incredible chapters. You'll be so thrilled once you read them and be bubbling and on fire, ready to share on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, it is life-changing, transformative, and we look forward to seeing you then. And for those of you, again, who wanted to have an opportunity to give your tithe, your offering, or your donations, just go to southbayalc.com, click the giving icon, and go ahead and give today. And we thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us this Sunday. We look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. We love you. I love you. Be blessed.